really conceived Guitar Hero Live. A former Activision developer says the game was his concept and he ought to be credited. By Colin Campbell for Polygon.com, read by Dave Tack. This is Polygon Longform. Guitar Hero Live's credits spool for around 20 minutes. More than 1,300 individuals are named as having contributed to the freestyle game in some way, not including those luminaries who wrote the songs included in the Rockstar Fantasy. One name not featured is Daniel DeLalo. He has never worked for freestyle. He has never contracted for them. He's had no official dealing with any Guitar Hero game since around 2011. Nevertheless, he's annoyed that his name isn't in the credits. He says that Guitar Hero Live is, at its core, his idea. DeLalo was an employee at Activision-owned Vicarious Visions between 2006 and 2011. During his time there, he was tasked with creating new design ideas and game concepts. Vicarious was working on developing the Guitar Hero franchise along with other Activision subsidiaries like Neversoft. He was heavily involved in seeking ways to revitalize a troubled brand. With the popularity of Guitar Hero games waning, DeLalo decided to flip the game from its standard third-person view of a musician playing to a first-person view of a live rock concert, as seen by the lead guitarist or vocalist. His demo, which he called Guitar Hero Live, included a video live audience that would respond in different ways to the player's vocal cues. Along with a revamped guitar, these are the innovations that mark Guitar Hero Live as separate from its predecessors. Guitar Hero Live, which launched in October last year, was the first non-mobile game in the rock music fantasy series since 2010. DeLalo says the first-person live crowd treatment he developed for Guitar Hero is one of the best ideas he's ever had, the culmination of work going back to his time as a game design student. He accepts that as an Activision employee, he was paid to come up with ideas and that those ideas belong to Activision. He understands that he is not owed any money, but he'd still like an official nod that the game's central concept was his creation. Just throw a credit in, he says. Just a credit to get the recognition that I helped come up with that idea. That's all I've ever wanted. Credits due. According to the International Game Developers Association, people who work on games ought to be credited, even if they depart the project prior to completion. If an individual made a contribution to the creative process, then that individual should be given their due credit, says IGDA Executive Director Kate Edwards. She continues, the length of time of that contribution is mostly irrelevant. Some individuals may bring specialized skills for a strategic period of time. Others contribute for the entire life cycle of the development process. Both deserve credit for their contributions. Departure from a game project before its final completion, for whatever reason, doesn't and shouldn't negate the reality of someone's contribution to the creative process. Thus, they should receive their appropriate credit. The IGDA has formulated a game credit guide for its members and other developers. The crowd reacts. DeLalo keeps a personal video he shot in his office at Vicarious on a Saturday night in February 2011.
Hello, this is me at my desk at Vicarious Visions, an Activision-owned company. I'm working on Guitar Hero. It is 2/5/2011 at 9:20 p.m. That's a Saturday. That's how I roll.
It's a recording of his work on a Guitar Hero prototype, which he says he spent a lot of time developing in his spare time.
I'm not even on Guitar Hero. I'm on Spyro right now. I'm a lead on Spyro. But I had to record this because this is the innovation that I'm trying to pull off for Guitar Hero in my spare time.
I'm pushing for a first-person perspective on stage experience, he remarks in the video, and an extended version of that video shows him wandering the corridors of Vicarious Visions and then demoing the prototype to colleagues. DeLalo says he used to create a lot of videos for his work in progress, almost like a scrapbook or a developer blog. The 6-minute video begins with him showing his rough prototype made in Unreal.
I'm pushing for first-person perspective on stage experience. So I'm building a prototype. This is the Unreal editor. Unreal, the UDK Unreal Editor.
After some technical discussion, he demos the game at work, paying particular attention to the, quote, onstage immersion
for the player like he'd never had before.
It's basically a first-person view of a performer on a stage in a large and noisy concert arena. He turns the camera on himself. He speaks into a mic that is connected to the demo.
Also watch this. The crowd reacts based on the amplitude coming through the microphone. How's everybody doing tonight?
Somewhat bizarrely, he explains the basic technical concepts of the game to the digital crowd. They clap. They're reacting to the noise of his voice, not the detail. He turns to the camera again.
That gives you a little idea of what I do on my Saturdays. I'd rather be out drinking, partying, hanging out with my girlfriend, friends, anything like that.
Jason Wiley is currently a musical composer at Riot Games. He shared that office with Dalala when they both worked on Guitar Hero. I was there for the whole process and I recorded little audio clips, recalls Wiley, who confirms Dalala's story about his Guitar Hero demos. He needed some audio for the game and stuff like sound effects. I was working on the core game that we were assigned to work on, and he was kind of doing more demo and experimentation type stuff. A lot of it was his own time. He was always doing all kinds of different projects. A super passionate dude. He even had criticism that, like, he was too passionate, being able to control that. He's totally into what he's doing, and he believes in it 100%. He goes crazy for it. Adam Block owns a studio production company called Craft Media Group. He worked at Vicarious Visions while Dalala was there as an audio lead and sound designer. Everybody who was working on this prototype was really excited about the things we were able to do, he says. I remember having different people come into Dan's office. The smiles on their faces were like, wow, this is really cool. It was just pushing the boundaries of what we could do back then. But was the final game based on Dalala's prototype or not? Either Activision kept Dalala's idea in a deep freeze until it began working on Guitar Hero Live, sending it over to Freestyle when development started on the new game, or someone at Freestyle independently came up with the same idea. On numerous occasions, Polygon contacted Activision and Freestyle for clarification and comment on this story. We've not received a reply. What we do know is that Activision and Dalala were in contact in the time between his departure from Vicarious and the announcement of Guitar Hero Live. And we know that Vicarious execs recognized the value of Dalala's work even as they laid him off. Then we were out of there. Dalala began his career as a tester at Acclaim. When that company went down in 2002, leaving him jobless, he determined to gain a solid all-around education in game design. He joined a program at Full Sail University, where he won the Advanced Achievement. While at college, he was especially interested in the then deeply unfashionable area of full motion video. Ever since the Sega CD, I always wanted to expand the idea of film in games as a feature, he says. When I was in school, I started working with my own AVI, that's audio video interleave, engines. I thought that if you built an engine that supported film like you support an animation, then you could literally make seamless interactive films that weren't just press this button and go on to that. When he graduated, he was picked up by Activision and began work at Vicarious Visions, based in Albany. His first project was a mission designer on Spider-Man 3, which came out in 2007. He then began working with the large audio team working on various Guitar Hero games. I enjoyed working with the audio team, he recalls. The audio director really liked my work ethic. When it comes to work, I'm very immersed in it. I don't have a lot of outside activities. It's 7 days a week, 10 to 16 hour days. I really wanted to make a name for myself. After 2 years, he was promoted to an Innovations Lab style task force that was told to play around with various franchises and come up with new ideas. That's when he created the first-person audience arena Guitar Hero demo. They called it Project Phoenix. It was a small team with the top guys, he says. We had a window before pre-production to come up with new game features. It was one of the coolest jobs. It was ideal for someone like me. There's no strings attached. Just come up with whatever you can that would be a cool feature we could leverage in the new Guitar Hero. Most of the team was working on new ergonomics for the controller, but while they were working on the controller, the ergonomics, that aspect of becoming a musician, I wanted to make the player feel like a musician. That was my goal. That's when he came up with the first-person perspective and advanced audience feedback. I started the user off in a long hallway. You'd hear the crowd pounding. There's cameras flashing. He feels like he's going to something big. It was very realistic, a very different approach to what the rest of the team was designing for the next Guitar Hero, which was more fantasy. I added a whole level of realism. I developed an HD live filmed crowd that was animation-based film. Vicarious's bosses came by to see DeLillo's demo. I showed the prototype on Friday. The execs and the CEO were blown away with it. Everybody was like, what the hell is this? This is really cool. I remember one of the women in the audio department started crying. She said, this is it. It was pretty undeniable when you saw it that there was something there. The following Monday morning, DeLillo says a senior exec swung by his office. He comes into my room and says, can I get that build? I need that build on my machine. DeLillo made a copy and sent it over. A few hours later, a meeting was announced to talk about the future of Guitar Hero. They said, we have a big announcement. Everybody come to the lunchroom at this time, recalls DeLillo. I thought it was about the prototype I'd just done. I'm sitting there in the back all happy. I was like, damn, they're going to show this to everybody. Then they said Guitar Hero got shut down. I was in shock. You don't understand. I have a new feature that could bring it back. But I didn't even get to talk about it or anything like that. 10 minutes later, I had to go back to my office, pack up my stuff with the rest of the team, and then we were out of there. We could work on it again. When DeLillo got home, he was still convinced that Activision had made some sort of an error. The company acknowledged that it had released far too many Guitar Hero games and rhythm spin-offs, and that it had not focused enough energy into changing the basic experience of the series. He believed that his idea could revitalize the genre. Although he was now unemployed, he decided to spend time continuing to work on his prototype. For him, it had become a personal mission. I knew that the prototype belonged to Activision, he explains, but I had developed the animation-based filming in college. Then, when I joined Activision, I used those ideas in the innovations lab. When I left Activision, I was still developing those techniques and expanding on them. He figured that Activision could come to its senses and rehire him. I was working with the mentality that I was going to repitch it to Activision as soon as I polished the prototype up and really had a full-fledged design. Not just one little feature, really show them how it would work with the first-person perspective and the animation-based filming. I spent about a year really polishing it up for Activision. Very few people, once they are rejected by a company, are willing to still believe in that company's objectives. But DeLillo seems to have harbored no grudge. If anything, his project became something of a personal crusade. We just lost so many talented people, he said. There could be a small chance to bring these guys back into VV, and we could work on it again and develop a new version of Guitar Hero that the consumer would want. The users themselves could have the ability to experience what it's like on stage, to grow from it and learn like public speaking. The more you're on the stage performing in front of live crowds, the more you might take that step. I saw advancements for that situation. Our feature continues in just a minute, but first, I want to tell you about one of my favorite audiobooks of all time. You love books, but find you never have time to read them. Well, I'll bet you might if you're listening to Polygon Longform, and Audible.com has the perfect solution. You can get audiobooks and listen to those books you've been meaning to read while you're on the go. At the gym, during your commute, Audible.com provides over 180,000 titles from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, and of course, business information providers. Their app is free, and it works on your iPhone, your iPad, your Android phone, your Windows phone, and you can also download and listen on your Kindle Fire and more than 500 MP3 players. Point is, it's everywhere you want it to be. And unlike a streaming or a rental service, with Audible, you own your books, so you can access your books anytime and anywhere right from your smartphone. Audible.com also has the Great Listen Guarantee. This is awesome. If you decide you don't like the book you choose, no problem. You can exchange any book you aren't happy with for another title anytime, no questions asked. I've also been a longtime listener of Audible ads, and my favorite part about them is when the person doing the ads talks about their favorite things from Audible. And lucky me, I get to do that today. I want to tell you about my one of my favorite Audible books ever. It's called Devil in the White City by Eric Larson. It's narrated by a guy named Scott Brick. He does a really good job. It tells the fascinating story. This is nothing, by the way, I would have ever been interested in, I think, on its own anyway. But thanks to a podcast I listened to years ago, I learned about one of my favorite audiobooks ever. Devil in the White City tells the fascinating story of the 1893 World's Columbian Exposition, which I, before reading this, knew as the World's Fair. And it is the story of how in Chicago they built a city, the White City, as they called it, to host the World's Fair. And I mean that. That's not an exaggeration. They straight up built a city. And it's also set against the backdrop of one of the world's first serial killers. There are stories about how Cracker Jacks were invented there, how the first Ferris wheel ever made its debut at the World's Fair. It is an amazing story, and it transports you back there perfectly in the way that sort of only an audiobook can. Now, if that sounds even mildly interesting to you, and I hope it does, honestly, because I want more people to read Devil in the White City because it's an awesome book, I got some really good news for you. Audible.com for Minimap listeners is offering a free 30-day trial membership. You can go to audible.com/polygon today. That's audible.com/polygon and start your free trial. Show your support for Polygon Longform and get a free 30-day trial at audible.com/polygon. Grab yourself Devil in the White City and let me know how you liked it at DPTACH on Twitter. Thanks very much to audible.com for supporting this episode of Polygon Longform. Money Talk. DeLalo says he has no intention of seeking compensation through legal channels. As a former employee, he knows his work belongs to Activision. David Hoppe is a lawyer who specializes in the video game industry. Almost without a doubt, Daniel had to sign a very broad employee IP assignment agreement when he started at Activision, he explains, confirming that employees have no financial claim on the work they produce. I don't want to get into a lawsuit or anything like that, says DeLalo. Money has never been my driving force. It's about credit and recognition for my work. His former colleagues agree that DeLalo can expect no financial recompense. When you work for a company like Vicarious Visions or whatever, says Block, they make it very clear to you from day one that any ideas, inventions, technology, anything that you create while you're under contract with them, they own. They owned the idea the second Dan conceived it under contract. That being said, Dan certainly pioneered a lot of the things that are surfacing years later. They were great ideas then, and they're great ideas now. Technically, when you work for a company and you're doing creative work, anything you make related to that field, they own it, says Wiley. Any idea that you come up with, it's theirs. That's what they pay you to do. It makes the user feel famous. A year later, DeLalo contacted Activision's senior director of business relations, Bob Loya, to pitch the idea. By now, he believed the company might be more attracted to the game as a potential new IP. He and Loya spoke on the phone for a while. DeLalo sent Loya an email talking about a, quote, new music game that makes the user feel famous. He had tested it with kids, he wrote, and they loved it. Loya wrote back a week later. Thanks for reaching out, he wrote. Per our phone conversation, we are not able to take unsolicited pitches, so I have to pass on your proposals. As you know, our portfolio strategy is focused on our existing IP and licenses, and we generally do not look for original IP from outside sources. This was the middle of 2012, but Activision had not given up on Guitar Hero. In a 2011 interview with Forbes, Activision CEO Bobby Kotick said that the franchise would return. We're going to go back to the studios, and we're going to use studios and reinvent Guitar Hero, said Kotick, adding that, quote, that's what we're doing with it now. Meanwhile, Freestyle was secretly working on a Guitar Hero reboot. The developer had previously worked on the DJ Hero series, as well as Sing Party for Wii U, which was released in 2012. According to Freestyle's creative director, Jamie Jackson, the developer started work on a new Guitar Hero game straight away. Speaking to Eurogamer last year, he said, quote, we got tasked with finding innovation. It was a small team to start off with while we were putting the other game to bed. We basically set some rules. First, you don't f***ing dare use the old logo. I've got nothing against it, but we need to start from scratch. No flames, no barbed wire, no old logo. All we did was we said, let's use the word Guitar Hero and see what we can do. In the interview, Jackson went on to stress the redesigned guitar as the main platform for innovation. We want to be brought out of our world and put somewhere else, whether that's racing driver, army soldier, or rock god. I think as developers, we're always trying our best to deliver on that. Games and movies. Credits in video games are an amorphous subject. It's useful to compare standard practices in games and in the movie business. In Hollywood, the credit rights are negotiated right up front, says David Hoppe, a lawyer who specializes in the video game industry. It's done right down to the details of the font size or how many other people appear on the same screen as their credit. Much of the Hollywood model has been dictated by the power of unions and their long-standing relationship with studios, something that does not exist in gaming. That isn't something that, in my experience, has reached the game industry, at least not yet, says Hoppe. I haven't seen any agreement with a game developer that actually addressed credit rights. Credits, historically, in the game business have not been a big deal. In the movie business, writers, for example, who contribute to a production but are replaced or move on before the end often have a negotiated right to be credited for their work. It's almost inconceivable that a person who devised a movie concept would fail to be mentioned in that movie's credits without some form of legal retribution. A waste of a lot of time. DeLillo knew nothing of all this. He believed that Guitar Hero was dead and only his work could bring it back. His zeal caused him to make a bad mistake. In late 2014, he took his work onto Kickstarter. He showed off the basic demo and tried to raise $25,000. He claims that he was looking to raise money to create an even better demo to pitch to Activision. I was trying to bring the IP back or at least get some funding to take this prototype further so it could possibly be brought back, he says. That was the goal. I wanted to create a more polished prototype to really show it off. Basically, film a live crowd again, get on stage again, and polish up that animation-based filming. He called his Kickstarter project The Hero and used a logo that was a clear copy of the Guitar Hero logo. Activision swiftly contacted Kickstarter and the project was pulled after just 4 days. But the Kickstarter clued him into the fact that Guitar Hero was making a comeback. He says he spoke to an old colleague inside Activision. My friend said, I saw your Kickstarter campaign. They're making Guitar Hero. It's exactly like your prototype. By now, Freestyle was ahead of DeLillo. The British company had already filmed live crowds and was getting ready to announce its game, which was 1 year away from release. Guitar Hero Live was finally announced in April 2015. I realized it had been a waste of a lot of time on my part, he says, but actually I was happy. I sparked a lot of those main features that are going to be in this next Guitar Hero game. I felt like I did my prototyping well in order to get those features in the next Guitar Hero game. The recognition that I deserve. But DeLillo still would like for some official recognition of the work that he did for the contribution he believes he made to Guitar Hero Live. It's not often, he points out, that a game design idea sits idle for half a decade and then is used for the first time. He has no doubts that his prototype formed the basis for Guitar Hero Live. Anybody could drop a different camera and go first person, he says. It's not like, whoa, first person, they took my idea on that. But I was the first one to show off Guitar Hero in first person. In the animation-based filming crowd, that was not on anybody's radar at Activision, that filming technique. I had this whole pitch behind this technique and why it lends itself well to crowds specifically for concerts and for Guitar Hero. That's why I feel like a lot of it was sparked by my initial prototypes. They used the idea and the design behind the idea and the techniques behind the idea. He's currently working on a VR project. His LinkedIn page mentions that his work appeared in Guitar Hero Live, and he's still hopeful for some official recognition from Activision. Give me a shout out, he says, because I was working on this for years. Let me have some of the recognition that I deserve. This has been Who Really Conceived Guitar Hero Live by Colin Campbell for Polygon.com. You're listening to Polygon Longform, our features-based podcast. You can subscribe to the show in iTunes. That just means it gets delivered automatically to your device of choice. The address for that is really easy. It's itunes.com/polygonlongform. itunes.com/polygonlongform. You can also go to polygon.com/longform and browse our archive, where we have stories on the game industry of Iran, how Shadow Complex led to Infinity Blade, to Star Wars, to J.J. Abrams and back again, stories about PlayStation Vita, StarCraft, Atlas Reactor, The Witness, and many, many more, including the birth and the second generation of Xbox Live, over at itunes.com/polygonlongform. It's also a great place to review the show. Won't take you but a couple of minutes. All you have to do is click a bunch of stars, or if you're feeling really generous, you can write a quick review. It helps enormously to spread the word, and we would appreciate it. We'd love to have you as a subscriber, and we thank you for listening.